Welcome to part three of the five-part series designed to enable ISV business success through partner and channel development. In this installment, we will be covering building a partner channel. Your hosts today are Diana Krecklow of the Krecklow Group and Gail Mercer McKay of Mercer McKay Solutions. Together, they each have over 20 years working in the Microsoft ecosystem and partner channel, helping ISVs succeed and grow.
Welcome. I'm Diana Krecklow, and I'm excited to be here today with Gail to talk about how ISVs can build a channel framework to grow their business. Today, many ISVs are in a direct sales mode, and they really want to understand how to scale through the channel. So what we are hoping to achieve today is to give you a good understanding of the steps you need to take to build, scale, recruit, manage, and support your channel.
That sounds terrific, Diana. And one of the things we're also planning to do is to share real-world examples of partners who've been successful, as well as talk about some of the biggest mistakes we've seen that ISVs seem to make over and over again.
Okay, let's begin with understanding where you as the ISV are on the road to scaling your sales. For most ISVs, they begin by building a product and selling it directly. They may have a competency. They may have developed a Microsoft partnership plan, which we just covered during our session number two.
Yes, great, and that was a great session. Typically, ISVs at this stage are beginning to think about how to scale. They recognize that Microsoft has the opportunity to be a strategic partner for them, and they are looking to build their Microsoft alliance, which means they're thinking about silver and gold competency, what kinds of lead generation might be available, and how to get more tightly connected to the Microsoft selling machine.
Now that you have seen other ISVs do this successfully, maybe you've been to Worldwide Partner Conference and you start thinking about which channel partners should I be talking to? How do I get them excited about my business? How do I make money with them? How do I marry my direct sales with an indirect channel while avoiding my channel conflict? How do I exploit vertical expertise?
Once an ISV has successfully executed a regional or national channel strategy, then they are looking to quickly scale globally, which leads to alliances that can influence significant revenues for everybody.
Let's talk about some of the things you need to think about when going to market, because it will influence who you want to partner with. Channel conflict is one of the biggest pain points in developing a channel. You need to understand how you want to partner. Some of the common terminology you will hear is, do I sell to, sell through, or sell with? So sell to is when an ISV goes direct to the customer, but possibly subcontracts to a systems integrator. In this scenario, the ISV has a direct contract and are prime, while the channel partner provides services such as project management, security, testing, software maintenance, managed services, SharePoint development, etc. Skills the ISV does not have. In a sell through, the channel partner has a direct opportunity and they prime, and they bring in the ISV software, some services and support. The channel partner will include their own people to complement their own skills and solutions. The third one, of course, is both the ISV and channel partner sell separate contracts to the customer while they work together on closing the deal.
Diana, those are great examples, and yet they're simplified. We understand that there may be other selling scenarios that you encounter or that could be a better fit for you.
So Gail, how do you recommend that ISVs find the right partners?
Great question, Diana. I think it's important to set the right expectations. We have found that a lot of ISVs are so excited about their solution that they are absolutely convinced the rest of the world is going to want to sell it too. And they don't invest in aligning their story to the needs of the SI.
Exactly. That is why it is important to set appropriate expectations. Create a partner profile template where you can capture the right criteria for a partner and understand the value proposition not only to the market, but also to the systems integrator.
You know, when you're recruiting, you need to focus on the SI's pain. You treat them as an opportunity exactly the same way as if you were going to market to find a customer. For an SI, it's usually how fast can they monetize with a minimum investment in time, resources, and dollars. Diana, I know you've had a lot of success building a partner recruitment process. What are the key steps for you?
Well, it's actually pretty simple, and it works for any size of ISV. There are five steps that I recommend. Identify your top channel partner targets. Then create your story. This means stating your value proposition to the channel partners and make sure you clearly understand how it solves the pain and creates revenue for them. The third step is to develop a reach out campaign. You can expedite this by engaging a recruiting services organization who has experience in channel relationships to fast track you. Next, track your progress by using an onboarding checklist, which is part of the download included in this series. Finally, develop a concrete 90-day plan. But Gail, you know, you're a great storyteller. Can you share with the audience how you can create an excellent value proposition for the channel?
Sure. Similar to the elevator pitches we discussed in session two, this value proposition or elevator pitch is specific to how you might engage channel partners to invest in you. Try to keep it short, break it into about two sentences, with the second sentence clarifying how you make the money. The example we're going to use here is an ISV that's developed a solution for financial services industry. And he's meeting with a systems integrator who wants to make more project services around their SharePoint business and around building out solutions in financial services. So listen carefully to how we're going to break it out for a systems integrator who's in SharePoint. We are an ISV that has a mobile insurance broker solution for insurance firms to increase customer conversions and accelerate policy sales. That's one sentence that in a nutshell describes what you do. Now we're going to hit the partner pain. This is the second sentence. Built on SQL 2014, our solution is ideal for a systems integrator who is looking for projects that combine SQL, Office 365, and Power BI tools. We have an average project length of 12 weeks and an average sales cycle of 3 to 6 months. Our partners typically realize revenues in 180 days. That second part of the sentence captured everything that SI wants to hear. You're going to get them to market fast, you're going to be right in their sweet spot, they're going to get some new projects with you, and they can differentiate themselves in the financial services market.
Great. So now they're on board. We've done the value prop. So let's get to do some fun stuff. We do a 90-day plan that should help us realize some results by the end. Let me tell you about an ISV who followed our approach and recruited a very large national systems integrator to sell his healthcare solution to the hospital market. One, they defined and articulated the joint value proposition. Two, they included the technical product marketing teams within their organizations to outline what exactly the joint solution should be and look like. Three, they mapped out the revenue recognition and sharing and sales models for a win-win field engagement. This meant it showed up on the quota and commission for the sales engagement teams. Four, of course, this meant enablement and training resources, which they mapped out as well. Five, they began to execute with one opportunity and in parallel began to replicate over the next year, adjusting as the market and the individual needs of the systems integrator and the ISV demanded. The outcome is that they had actually signed a 2,000-bed hospital deal together within the first few months of working and were able to add two more hospitals in a quick succession with the large opportunity pipeline growing.
2,000 beds, what a great success story. I hear this partner is also submitting for WPC awards with this win, and a case study is in development to be posted on Microsoft.com.
Hey Gail, I just saw Corrine Sharp from Sharp Perspective walk by. Let's see if she's got a few minutes to share with us some of her experiences. For those of you who might not be familiar with Corrine, she has been on both sides of the channel. First as a partner and then for 13 years with Microsoft where she ran the Canadian partner channel. She's worked with ISVs from very small to very large global ISVs, and we'd like to capture some of her lessons learned. Welcome, Corrine. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Diana. It's nice to see you again. I love working with the ISV community and helping them scale their business.
Yes, me too, and I'm passionate about ISVs, and it's really rewarding to watch them succeed. But sometimes, you know, it's painful to watch them learn by trial and error, and maybe you could tell us some of the common mistakes that you've seen over and over.
Sure. The number one reason I see ISVs fail is that they set a flawed strategy right from the beginning for why they want to build an indirect model in the first place. And I have some common flawed strategies. The first one being a mulligan strategy. I'm not sure if you're a golfer, Diana, but
somewhat.
You know, if a partner has tried it direct and it's failed, so then they're going to just throw it over to the channel. I call that the mulligan strategy. Well, if it didn't work for them to sell their solution, it's going to be really hard for someone else to follow the same strategy. The second one is the no money strategy. I have no money, I've run out of funding, and I'm just going to go over and build a channel to help do that. That doesn't work either. We're going to talk about some of the recruiting that's really, really important. And ISVs have a year one ambition where they expect that they're going to build a channel of 5, 10, 20 organizations, and they're going to all sell in year one. And they're going to double, triple the revenue. And we know that that's sometimes a flawed strategy. And then, of course, there's the VC told me to. They've got some funding. They have to build a channel. Well, you still need a strategy and a plan. And the final one is the leftover strategy, right? So I'm going to keep all of the good accounts, and I'm going to give all of the bad ones to the channel. So if any of these resonates with the ISVs that are kind of listening to our talk today, then they really should dig a little bit deeper, as it could lead to disappointing results. And in order to scale their business, they really should be understanding how their solution is relevant to the ideal partner or partners that you're targeting. You know, solutions complement their existing business model and enables them to sell more of what they already do. It can't be completely different. And they have to have the ability to manage leads, whether it's leads they're bringing to the table or that the ISV, which is now becomes the vendor, are bringing to the table. And it really is about providing greater reach into the desired markets that the ISV wants to go over, whether it's local, whether it's regional, or whether it's global. If your business is expanding your sales capacity beyond the ISV's existing sales team, then you're headed in the right direction.
Great. This is why we are encouraging ISVs to adopt this best-in-class framework for building channels. Shortcut your way to success. Avoid the pitfalls and emulate what the leaders are doing. So far, we've shared with our audience how to build a partnership plan, how to profile a potential partner, how to recruit, how to develop a joint go-to-market solution, and most importantly, how to execute. Corinne, can you give us an example of a partner you've worked with who has done this well, someone who has followed this model and what their real-world experience has been?
Sure. Yeah, I'm working with a great SaaS company right now called Better Workplace, and they help organizations successfully deploy mobile, virtualized, and flexible work solutions. Through a suite of online tools, they're able to assess the evolving requirements of the workforce, manage the transition to a more agile and flexible work environment, and measure the ongoing cost savings and productivity benefits to the company, the employees, and even the planet. So that's a little bit about the organization. As they evolved from a direct to a channel model, they followed the principles of first understanding why their solution would be relevant to a potential partner. In their case, solution providers, real estate organizations, as well as HR benefit consultants. Once we created the ideal partner criteria, we developed the value proposition for each on how it would enable them to sell more high-margin, value-added solutions and services on top of the margin they would make from Better Workplace licensing. We opted for a two-tier distribution model within the ICT space and signed a strategic vendor agreement with Ingram to help scale through the thousands of VARs that are their customers. We're working on joint go-to-market campaigns to enable both Ingram and our three unique types of channel to sell, deliver value, and grow everyone's business. And what is unique is that they capitalized on how Better Workplace Solutions enabled them to sell more technology and services, or in the case of real estate, provide incremental value for existing customers who are looking to reduce their workplace footprint. The customer value proposition is still owned by Better Workplace in driving brand to support the channel when they're out evangelizing and positioning their solutions together.
Wow, what a great example. And it's interesting because Better Workplace is really fairly a small ISV, but they're partnering with such a mature, well-established channel who can really help them scale quickly. So Corinne, you've shared with us what to watch for. You've shared an example of the best of class and the due diligence required to make it work. Can you give us a sense of the channel development timelines?
Sure, and that's something that people need to really pay attention to. Typically, it takes about 90 days to build out your initial plan But then to actually recruit, and it can take anywhere from 3 to 18 months. A tip here is to consider hiring a recruitment service or a consultant to do that for you or with you. They have experience and established relationships to fast track. True enablement will take even longer than recruitment, and it's an ongoing process because it requires training, updates, enabling new hires, and marketing campaigns. And don't forget how long your actual solution sales cycle is.
Hey, that was a great conversation you had with Corinne, Diana, and she shared a lot of valuable information. I think maybe we should put her contact information at the end of our slides in case anybody wants to get in touch with her to learn more about what she can do to help them grow. But even though she shared a lot of information, do you think we're missing anything?
Glad you asked. One of the last things we want to share is the channel management framework. And this consists of three components that we've been covering today: sales and marketing, technology, and support.
That's great. Now, I know we're going to go into much more detail in session 5 about how to successfully operationalize a channel program. But can you kind of net it out for today? Give us a short review of what we need to think about.
Sure. So for the sales and marketing piece, you need to align your organizations around selling, training, partner marketing, and collateral. The second bucket is technology, and this is where you want to do your joint solution development work, upgrade your product roadmap planning, and develop a joint go-to-market plan. And finally, support, which is around partner certification programs, demos, lab systems, support models and offerings.
So let's wrap it up here with some of the resources that partners can tap into to build a strong channel plan. We believe the top 5 keys to success are these. 1, be sure you're in the Microsoft Partner Network. 2, regularly check MPN for new resources, collateral training, and other tools to help you succeed. 3, join your local IAMCP, International Association of Microsoft Channel Partners, and attend meetings for networking and warm introductions to the right people. 4, build out your solution on Pinpoint so that you can be found. And 5, attend WPC and fast track your network through P2P events.
So in summary, scale your sales through a channel program. Channel partner selection is key. Create those compelling joint value propositions and go-to-market plans, and focus on long-term relationships versus the ad hoc opportunities. Thanks for attending. See you next week at Recognizing Your Revenue. And don't forget, you can download these worksheets that accompany the sessions. Thanks very much, and I'll look forward to seeing you again, Gail.
Thanks for joining us today. Great to see you, Di.
Bye-bye.
Bye.